Good morning. The Gemara in Bava Basra describes in the sugya of Yoyred and Nana describes that the Ravina had fields that surrounded the fields of Runya, and he built a fence around it. Now, by building a fence around Ravina's field, he benefited Runya because now his fields were protected. And Ravina asked Runya to chip in and defray the cost of building the fence. So Runya declined, and he said, "I really don't have any benefit. The field doesn't have anything of value," and he did not want to chip in for paying for the fence. Gemara relates that when Runya was harvesting his field, his dates, so Ravina sent his aris into Runya's field in front of him, and told him, "Just go help yourself to a cluster of dates, and bring it to me." The aris comes in, takes the dates, and starts walking out. And Ravina started yelling at him. Runya started yelling, "You're a ganav, stop, stop." So Ravina turned to him, "Oh, I see that you do care about the dates. I see you do value what you have in the field. In that case, you were benefited from the fence that I built, and I want you to chip in at least for the hana that you have from the expense that I incurred in building the fence around the field." Ad kan the Gemara. Vrek the Ritva. We have a major problem from our sugya. We learned that the Gemara darshins from the pasuk of Lo Yisigzal, that gzeila al menas lemekad or al menas letzar or even al menas leshalim is also. That not only is it also to break in someone's house to steal the silver when you plan on keeping it, even if you're doing it to be mitzar the person, or even with the intention of ultimately paying it back or even paying back kefil, nevertheless it's still also. Frak the Ritva. How could Ravina instruct his aris to steal the dates, even though he was doing it just to bring out a point and to show and to prove that Runya really cared about his field? Lemaisa, he was over a Maisa Gzela. So what was the heter for him to go ahead and to go and do this? So Ritva suggests two terutzim, and both of which are very negel the halachos that we discussed over the past 2 weeks. The first heresy, he says, is that it's true. You're not allowed to steal something on Menas HaShalem. You're not allowed to steal it even if you plan on paying for it, even if you're ultimately going to play kefil. Zog the Ritva, that's by stama thing. You break into someone's house, you steal his silver, it's very nice, you're going to pay for it, but right now you're a gazlan. However, zog the Ritva, if something is oimid l'mechira, if something is for sale, so there the owner wants to sell it. So to take it with the intent of paying, that, he says, would be mutter. So since over here, Ravina sent his aris in to take these dates were oimid l'mechira, Ravina was going to take it, he had every intention of paying for it, therefore the iser of goyzla menas l'shalem does not apply. Now we did point out that there is a machlokes how far to take this. The shach seems to learn that even when something which is oimid l'mechira, you can only take it if you immediately pay for it, if you're makne the money immediately. But to take it on credit is going to be aser. The Machan Ephraim actually argues, he says, even in that case, even if you're going to pay in the future, since it's Oymel Mechira, it's a schus for the Baal, you are allowed to take it now and pay later. The Kol Elyo, we mentioned, was a somewhere in between. He said, if it's in front of the owner sees it. There, he says, you could take it, even if you don't pay immediately. Mashenkin, if it's behind his back, it'll be aser. Regardless, I think in this case, everyone would agree to this halacha. Since in this case, Runya already owed Ravina money in the past because he was a yoyrid, he had built the fence, so this is the equivalent to paying immediately because he already had a debt. This thing is these dates were oimid l'mechira, so by taking the dates and knocking off the debt, that is, I think, even would satisfy even the shach, you're paying right away, and since it's oimid l'mechira, that would be permitted. This is the first teretz of the Ritva. The second heretz he says, which is an important chiddush, he says, although there's an iser of goyzla menas lemekad or goyzla menas l'shalim, that is when you're stam stealing it. You're stealing it because you want to be mitzar of the person, or you're stealing it with ultimately, even though you'll ultimately return it and give him more, nevertheless, what you're doing now is also. However, zok the Ritva, if you're doing this just in order to recover what you were owed, in other words, Runya in this case owed him money, was refusing to pay because of a false taina. So you were taking it temporarily not to be mitzar him, not to cause him pain, but rather just to prevent Ruin Yurk from being a ganav from him. So he says, in that case, a goizel, a manas lemekar, or a manas leshalem, is going to be mutter. It's only usher when it's for tsar or stam, you want to be pay afterwards. But in this case, where you're doing it to protect yourself, it says the iser would not apply. Now, loy mi boy, we mentioned there's a machlokes whether the whole iser of goizel manas lemekar, according to Lecha Mishnah, it is only midrabanan. If it's this, it's only midrabanan, then we certainly understand this halacha. The chazal were not goizer in a case where you're doing it to prevent a gzela. However, even according to the other shittas, even if you hold it's doraisa, the Rambam writes the iser of goizal manas the mekad is only kadesh lo yargol bakach. That the Torah only asked it because it is a bad habit to get into, and therefore across the board they said you can never. The Torah asked it stealing. So it's yitachin in a case like this. We're doing this to prevent the other person from being over this, or gezel, but you're preventing the other person from acting shalikadin. So there, perhaps, the Rit Avah held, even the iser, even if it's an iser d'oraisa, the iser would not apply. And we find a similar concept, both the Prisha and the Drach, and the Bach both hold, that we mentioned that to swap, although you cannot steal with the intention of repaying, or even paying kefil, if an immediate swap is going to be mutter. In other words, if you're taking one item and immediately be machnet to him something which is better, or to schus for him, that is going to be mutter. Zog the Bach and the Prisha, they both point out, this halacha is only brought down in Hilchus Gezela, not in Hilchus Geneva. Now Gezela is when you steal something openly, in front of the owner. You just go ahead and you grab it with force. Geneva is when you sneak, or at least you try to do it secretly without anyone seeing you. Zog the Bach and the Prisha, this whole heter of swapping one item for something better, he says, is only when you do it openly, b'oifen gezela, where everyone sees. In that case, since it's not really gezel, in the sense that it's really for the benefit of the owner, it's good for him, and it's being done openly, so we don't have a chashash of yargo l'kach, because gezela is something which people is very hard to do, unless you're a very, very strong and courageous person, it is a very difficult career to embark on. So there, we're not so concerned. So if you're swapping for a better thing, there's no iser of goizel manas lemeka. Mashenkin a ganiv, even in a case where you're swapping for something better, since you're doing it hiddenly and secretly in an oifen of geneva, where there's a greater chashash of yargo bakach, you'll get used to it. Once you learn how to pick a lock and disable an alarm, then you will be tempted to do so in the future. So there the Bach says, even if you're being goinev, amanas, to give and swapping, give something better, he says in that case it would be usher, and we don't say this heter, even if in this case it's l'tayelis, the victim. Now a typical case where this comes up is you have a bacher who's in a dormitory, and one of his roommates steals his MP3. As we pointed out, taking the MP3, even if it's you doing it as a joke, even if you plan on returning it, it's still usher. Usher midoraisa, according to most poskim, there's an iser gzela. The problem is that he's not giving it back to you. So what do? You wait until he's in the shower. At that point, you steal his towel. Or depending on how nasty it gets, you take his robe also. He's stuck. At that point, you tell him, if you want your robe back, return the MP3. So this is a case where what you're doing is you're being a goizel almanas l'shalem, or a goizel almanas l'meka. You're not doing it to keep it for yourself. You're certainly going to return it. L'chayra, that's going to be awesome. However, the Ritva says, if you're stealing, and you're doing it just to recover what he took from you, if you're taking it away simply to force him to return the MP3 that he stole from you, in that case, the Ritva says, the iser of goizel almanas l'meka, or almanas l'shalem, would not apply. And that would be mutter l'chanchilo to do.
Give me back my thing anyway, my robe anyway. And again, and this goes on. So you have in your possession, it's not going to help at that point. At that point, does it kick in and it's in gazela?
Well, eventually the fellow will get hungry and will have to come out of the shower. Okay, if it doesn't work, if you borrow someone else's, it doesn't work. At that point, at that point, it becomes one goslin, one gzela for another gzela. You won't be able to keep it. But as long as you're using it as a tactic to recover what's owed to you, that's a goizel manas l'shalem. In order to recover what's due, There the Ritva says that it's going to be mutter. Again, whether this is the wisest way of dealing with this particular case is another story, but Isser Gezel would not apply.
You just said that they weren't geyser because your intent wasn't to be met for Lega. His intent...
No, but he just switched the case, so the Rebbe's keeping it indefinitely. Now, this heter of the Ritva was only taking it temporarily. But a real gzelo, just because if someone steals from you, there is a concept of don dina lenafshei, but that generally means you're allowed to take the actual item that was stolen from you. Or perhaps if someone steals an item, you can take the money, the tashlum that he owes you. But if he steals one item, for you to take a different item from him, that lechayr is gazel. So while in dina lenafshei, at most you can do is take it as a mashkin and then go to Bezdin and have them do a gviya. But to go ahead and just to decide, I want to take his car because he owes me money, that you would not have the right to do, and that even the Ritva would not apply because you're keeping it permanently. It's not just a temporary. No, so equal value, you don't have the right to be goyva his car. Because if he owes you something, you have the right to take money that he owes you. But to take this particular item, that's something that you generally need a bezdin for. There's a revashon, there's a ktsayis that deal with these matters, but mechitei said this thing. He always has the right to say, I want to pay you with different metalkalin, and therefore to say that choyiv, I am being mayachedin and taking this car for the money you owe me, is something that's something that you need a bezdin for. That's something that the victim on his own certainly does not have the right to do. So this is the din of, again, goyzal mas letzar. This is only when you're taking temporarily. If you're doing it in order to protect what's due to you, the Ritva says that the Isser would not apply.
Is there any chayiv, no matter what loan, any time you owe your money, regardless of what the reason you owe your money?
Being taifus a mashkin is a different halacha. This case was, Runya was denying that he owes the money, because al-pidin he held he was potter. This charade was done in order to demonstrate that Runya is benefiting from the fence, and therefore he owes the money. So since you're doing this gezeila amanas l'shalim or amanas l'meikai in order to demonstrate, to prove what the din is, there the ritva is meikal. Now if someone owes you money and just isn't paying, you want to be taif as a mashkin, that's a different sukkah. And they're already, if someone borrowed money from you and you go into his house to grab a mashkin, you can be over a number of isuri deraisa. So that's, there you have to be careful. Here it's not a question of a mashkin, here it's a question of going through this charade just to show and to prove that he actually does owe you the money. Let's talk about now who is mechuyev in the dinim of gzela. The first question that comes up, and it's discussed in Simon Shin Mem Tes, that was the Maram Kaimus we gave out last week, is what is the halacha of a child steal something? So we know that a child is a lav bar chiyuva. He's a katan. He is not mechuyev in mitzvahs. And therefore, the halacha is if he steals something, eved v'isha and a katan is pigiyasim ra. If a child steals something, he doesn't become a gazlan, he has no chiyuv hashav. Now, if the item that he stole is still be'en, it's still around, certainly the owner can take it back. It belongs to him. The child steals a bike, he gets caught, he has to return it. However, if the item is not be'en, the child loses it, it's gone, a child has no chiyuv tashlumin because he does not become a ganav. Now, although he does not have a chiyuv tashlumin, there is the Chumas Adeshen, the Ramon, and Archaim, Simon Shin Mem Gimel, paskins like this, that although a child is not responsible for what he does as a child, nevertheless, he says there are many makoros that it is a simin ra that mechshoilus happened through the child, and therefore when he grows up, when he becomes a gadol, he says he should as a kapara to do tshuva, he should be mefayis the victim for what he took away from him. Now it is clear from the Trumas Hadeshin you don't have to pay, it doesn't mean there's a chiv to pay the full amount of what you stole. His point is, because a takala happened, someone suffered on your hands, even though you were a child at the time, you should be mefayis him, you should get mechila from him, and you should pay him something as a kapara, as a tshuva. Trumas Hadeshin says, I'm not one to start being meshayer what you should do for tshuva. He didn't want to put a number on it, but it's something which should be addressed, it should be dealt with, and this person shouldn't just say, I was a child, I was a kohen, I'm not responsible for what I did. Now there is, the Hagoyis HaShri actually takes it further. Hagoyis HaShri holds that even though a child is potter, he says when he becomes a gadol, he's chayav al pi din to pay for what he damaged or for what he stole. However, the Achronim say this is a das yachid, and the Ikar halacha is that while it's appropriate for him to do tshuva, and he should be mafayis the victim, it's not a chiv to pay the full amount. Now because of this halacha, Rav Bloy, the Pisrei Choshen, when a child was mazik and the father wanted to know what are my chiyuvim, so in the Ikar HaDin, a father is not responsible for the hezek that his child does. You're responsible for your shor, for your dog, for your pets. You have no chiyuv mamon for the hezek that your children do. Nevertheless, because a child does have a chiyuv to do tshuva, to pay something for a kapara when he gets older, since in practically speaking, by the time the child becomes older, he will not remember the story, he won't know who the victim is, and practically speaking, it will be very difficult for him to actually do something for a kapara. So he is meyayitz the parents, nevertheless, to take responsibility and to be mafayis, the nizik, the victim, for what was stolen or what was damaged. But Mekar Hadin, a parent has no chiyuv, and even the child doesn't have a chiyuv Mekar Hadin. It's just an inyan for him to do tshuva later when he gets older. Well, he has an obligation as far as chinuch, and just but as far as the din of your mammon shmiras on alecha, there you have a chi of mammon, and if you don't do a shmirah, you're chayef to pay else mammon hamazik. Your child is not your mammon, and therefore if he damages, you'd be potter. Now, in extreme cases, if you take a child into a china shop and you let him run loose, so maybe we can talk about being chayef altz garmi. And there are cases they're busy with trying to make them into a shomer, but those are all chedushim. It's very hard to mechayev a parent for the child's actions. Well, how wild they are just is just the difference whether he pays chati nezek or nezek shalim. You know, is a child tam or is a child mua? But the Torah, mammon, the Torah says, is shmiras on alecha. There's a chiyuv shmira on your mammon. There is, the Torah never created a chiyuv shmira on your child. So while certainly he should watch him, but if he goes ahead and damages, he's his own person, he's potter min ha-mitzvahs, and therefore you can't be mechayev mikra din. But it's not your mammon. It's not other mamazik because you haven't done it. It's not mammon hamazik because you don't own your child. So it's neither. It doesn't fall under any category. And there's no chi of mammon to pay for what a child does.
So I'm probably the grieved neighbor. Can I damage the child in order to keep him away? In other words, am I committed to physically?
You want to do avidinish deal in afshe to stop him from being mad. Yeah. If you want to restrain him, you want to hold him back. That's not going to help. Wait a second. If you want to physically restrain him from, he comes ready to smash, comes with a bat and wants to smash your window, and you want to physically restrain him, you can do that. That's certainly avinish dilan afshe. But if he already smashed the window, and now you figure you'll break his leg, you'll teach him a lesson, again, that's not how we do chinuch for children, and that's certainly going to be osur. There's an isur chavolo. You're not allowed to be over the isur chavolo just to teach him a lesson so that he won't do it again in the future. Against the child, the lashon is that eved v'ish and a kohen pigiyos and ra. You don't, when you pegeah behem, when you meet up with them, it is you're in trouble because you have no recourse against the child. There was actually a story. We'll get back to this because there'll be some other interesting nekudos. But there was someone, an enterprising young man in Lakewood. There's a yeshiva there. There are many people learning all day, and 10 people learning all day. They get hungry. Now, on the yeshiva premises, they're very mock, but they don't sell any food. So some enterprising young man bought a nice jalopy. One night, he had it towed right in front of the yeshiva, dropped it off, parked right by the entrance. He then went ahead, he broke the lock of the trunk. And every morning, and thus was born the Danish car. Every morning, they used to deliver, I think it was hundreds of Danishes. They put it in the trunk. There was a pushka next to it with a little sign, $1.50 a Danish, put the money in the pushka. People go outside, and they buy Danishes. Now he noticed, he actually set one up in front of each base medrash, and he noticed in one particular base medrash, Danishes were disappearing, and the pushka wasn't getting full. So he figured he's going to watch. And apparently what was happening was, one of the Bati Midrashim is right next to, or was right next to Lakewood Cheder. And one of the kids in the Cheder apparently was trying to buy friends, if you will. So he was telling his classmates that my uncle owns the Danish car. And I have permission, whenever I get hungry, I can have a Danish and I can share with my friends. So the friends were all having Danishes, you know, on the house, on the car, whatever, however you call it. So this is the case. The kids that were taking it were ketanim. They were below bar mitzvah. They were certainly, they were gazel. So gazel, but nevertheless, pikiyos and ruah, there's nothing you can do. You cannot be mechayiv the child or the parents to pay. Now, in theory, the children would be chayiv when they get older. And if the Pesach Choshen's eitz of the parents is to pay something in order to be mechayiv, because the child probably won't remember and probably won't do tshuva appropriately. Now, in that particular case, just before anyone asks it, you may be able to send the parents a bill al tznene, because the parents have to feed the child. If now they're, because the child is eating a Danish, now they're eating less supper. So perhaps they can take a deduction of nana. That wouldn't be based on the cost of the Danish. That would be based on how much less you're paying for supper that evening. And that, yesh ladain, how much hano a parent has by a child eating chocolate Danishes every day. If
it would be much better if the kid would have started reselling them.
Oh, very good. So that would, we're going to get back to that in a moment. Very good. That's where we're heading there. Okay, so then it's possible that by bringing it in, you're being makabel shmir, you are being makabel shmir. The difficulty that you will have is, generally, you need some sort of kinyan. So what binds you to that? Let's say if you walk and you say, I will take responsibility. So you generally need a maisa kinyan. So unless you create some minhag, or unless you create some sort of hahi hana, that in exchange for the hano, or the rent, if you will, the benefit that you have from being able to come into the store and buy things, so kineged that, you're mechayev yourself, and that's really the problem, how to create the kinyan. There is a gemara that talks about a lady that comes in with her child, when she comes in to bake things, where she is achroi, where she comes in with a gedi, and the achroinim are busy with how the maisa kinyan is, and use these kinds of svaras. Because she's benefiting by being in the premises, by hi hano, she's in the schayiv as a shoyma. So that may work if you hang up a sign, but it would be a chiddush, but it may work. So this is the halacha about a child. Although there's no chi mikra din, there is an inyan of him doing tshuva when he gets older, and therefore it's certainly an eitz tova for a parent to go ahead and to be mefayis the victim now, because otherwise it probably will not happen. Now there's a somewhat similar halacha by a married lady. A married woman steals something. So although she's a gedoyla, she is definitely mitzvah in the Isser of gzeila, she has a chiyuv mamin to pay right away. However, practically speaking, since all the assets that she has generally either belong to the husband or are meshuvah to the husband, so in a practical sense, she generally has no way of paying the victim back until ultimately her husband dies or until they get divorced. So that's why this is another, a married lady is another example of pigiyos and ra. It's a case where although al pidin she's chayiv, typically she will not have the ability to pay until for many years.
That's what she steals money, but she has the
items. So just like by a child, the halacha is if he steals a bike, the victim certainly can take the bike back because it belongs to him. So hu adin, but if a lady steals something, if the item is be'en, certainly the victim has every right to recover the item. But here we have the Mechaber, and based on a Sefer Trumos, adds a very important chiddush. The Mechaber says if a woman steals something and the item is be'en, or he says the chalipov. In other words, if a woman steals money, let's say she steals money, she buys herself a ring. Now, certainly if you caught her before when she still had the cash, the victim gets it back because it still belongs to him. Over here, she took the money and she bought something else with it. Zog the Sefer HaTrumos, and the Mechaber passing like this in Shulchan Aruch, the Chalipe Gezel are also Meshubi to the victim, and he would have the right to recover it. So even though normally whatever a lady has, or whatever she has, whatever she buys, would either belongs to the husband, or is at least Meshubi, it's Nechzei Malug, nevertheless, something which she steals, and then she's machlif it, she sells it, she takes the money, she buys something else. In these cases, the victim has a claim against the chalipin, and therefore they'd be able to recover it, even though it's not the actual chefetz hagazel. Now the mechaber says this by a woman that steals. The mechaber does not mention what the halacha is by a child. The child steals the Danish, and then he sells it to someone else. Can the victim have a shibud on that money? We say no. The kohen that stole, he's a gazlan, he's a lav bar chiyuvah. Now he went ahead and he sold something that didn't belong to him and he got money. Perhaps it doesn't belong to him. Perhaps the victim has no claim. The Aruch HaShulchan is medama a kohen to a married woman. And the Aruch HaShulchan has a chiddush that the chalipe gezel of a kohen also goes back to the victim. So in that case, if the child took the Danish and sold it to someone else and now has that money, even though that money never belonged to the victim, nevertheless, the Aruch HaShulchan says that it would go back to the nigzal because this would be called chalipe gzela. Now, it's not so pashut. There is a makom to be mechalek that by an isha, the chalip, the pshat is not that the chalipin belonged to the victim. Chalipin don't belong. You can't say arei shachol fanecha. The pshat is that perhaps that a husband is not zoicha in the nichse of the gezel of his wife, and he's not zoicha in the chalipin of the gezel of his wife. But to extend it to a child is a chiddush. Kideger's mashma bit that he argues on it, but nevertheless, this is a pshat of the Aruch HaShulchan. The pisay chayish and nemza on like this the halacha that the chalipe gezel by a cotton also goes back to the victim, and it would have to be returned.
That's true.
So you do have to, if she can, she does have a chiv to sell the toivas hanah. In other words, she can't sell it now because the payers are meshubit to the husband. So she can't sell it today. There is a halacha, she's mechuyev to sell her ksuba or the toivas hanah, that she sells it to someone who is buying the rights that if the husband dies first or they get divorced, at that point the purchaser will get the rights to those assets. Masha'enkein, if she dies first, then it will go to the husband. So that right or that risk is something that has value, that's called selling ksuba for toivas hanah, and that she is mechuyev to do. In practice, it's fairly hard to sell it. There's not much of a market for it. But in theory, if she has nechasim and she can sell the toivas hanah, she would have a chiyuv to sell it.
But her jewelry that her husband gives her, that's not hers?
That, lav dafka. That's, again, that's a completely separate shmuz, but it's very likely, you know, if they get divorced, it's very tough and the husband has a claim against it. Now, if there were assets that were given to her, if she does have assets that do not belong to the husband, are not meshubet to the husband, she would have to pay with it. The halacha of pigiyos and ra is a typical case where they did not have independent assets that were not either owned or at least meshubet to the husband. Okay, so this is the din of an isha and a katan. Again, the isha is certainly chayiv in gzela, but in practice it is hard to collect from her. What happens when you have two accomplices that steal something? You have one person breaks in, the other person drives the getaway car. How does halacha look at these cases? So here there are a number of different classifications. We'll go through it piece by piece. The first case the Rosh talks about is a woman stole something from her husband. So she went into her husband's rishos. She took the items up. What she did is she threw the stuff out the window to the neighboring courtyard, and her brother was waiting there below. He took everything and ran off with it. And the question is, who is chayiv for these items? Is she chayiv? Is he chayiv? They both chayiv. How do you deal with this situation? So in this particular case, the lady is certainly a gazla. When you go into someone's house and you pick something up amanas to steal it, you do a hagbah, that is a maisa gazela, and certainly she has a chiyuv to pay. Now the question over here is, she then took the item, she threw it out the window into the neighboring courtyard, and her brother went ahead, picked it up, and ran off with it. Is he chayiv to pay for taking the item and running off with it? So Zog the Rosh, that on Hilchos Gneva, he's not a ganav. It was stolen already. She was the ganav, and if she's a ganav, then she hands it to him. He didn't do anything. He wasn't moistif in the Geneva at all. And therefore, the Rosh says he is not chayev al tganef. The husband's going to claim, if not for him, he would have been able to prevent the gezeilah. Because he would have come home in the middle. If she had to throw everything and then go around, and it would have taken much longer, he would have prevented, he would have been able to stop it. Zuck the Rosh, two things. First of all, mechateza. Maybe he could have prevented it, maybe not. You want to be moitzi mamon that you caused me a loss. Moitzi mechateza overaya. And unless you can prove it, he said there's no claim. On top of that, even if it's true, the maestra, she was the gazla. She stole it, she got it out of his rishos. If not for your actions, the victim would have recovered it. So he says, you're a grum. Let's say someone robs a bank. The owner sees what's going on. They gather together, everyone. They start chasing after the goslin. And you go ahead, you let the air out of their tires. Are you a goslin? No. All you did is you prevented the victim, the nigzel, from recovering his gzela. So it's certainly a grama, certainly usher to do, but it doesn't make it, there's no chiyav mamon, because you didn't participate in the actual gzela. All you did is prevented someone from going ahead and recovering the gzela. So that is grama bin izakun, and that is going to be potter. However, there is another problem. And that is, even if you're not a goslin, because it was already stolen, it was already out of the owner's rishos, what is the halacha if a goslin steals something? You know it's stolen. And then he turns to you and says, listen, do me a favor, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. I'm very nervous. I know there are a lot of ganavim around town. Watch this for me. And he gives it to you. Now, at this point, you're holding stolen goods. Are you a ganav? No, you didn't take it. But you're now holding something that you know belongs to someone else. So Zak the Rosh, or Zak the Mordechai, at this point, he says, you're a shamer, you become a shamer aveda. Just like if a person's walking down the street, you drop something on the street, and you find it, you become a shamer. You have a chiyav hashavas aveda. You have a chiyav, even though you didn't cause it to get lost, but if you have something that was lost, you have a chiyav to return it to the owner. Zak the Mordechai, who had in over here, if someone steals something and then gives it to you, now you're a shamer aveda. And therefore, if you go ahead and you don't watch it, and kol shkein v'kol shkein, if you give it back to the goslin, where now you've put it in, you've been peshe, you've made it impossible for the owner to recover, even though you're going to be, you're potter, you're not a goslin, but you're going to be chayev because you're a shamer aveda. So in any case where you end up in the possession of stolen goods, at that point you become a shomer aveda, and in that case, if you return it to the goslin instead of to the owner, you're chayiv not because you're a goslin, but you're chayiv because you're a shomer aveda. There's another very important exception to hashavas aveda, and that is, I used a very extreme case. You know the item's stolen, and the ganav gives it to you. What's the halacha, and this is also discussed in another tshuva of the Rosh, if the woman goes into her husband's rishos, takes something, gives it to the brother to watch, and she says, my husband stole this from me. What's the halacha? If the brother takes it and now then later returns it to his sister, is he chayev or not? Now here we have a very interesting case. Normally, if we have two edim, that someone walked into another person's house, took an item, put it in his pocket, we bring him to Bezin, we say, you're a goslin. And the person says, in chatvi v'didi chatvi. It was really mine. That person had taken it to me, shaloi kedem. What's the halacha? Halacha is we make him pay. We don't believe you. If it's in someone's house, we assume it's his. And if we have edim that someone took it out without permission, that person is considered a goslin. We force him to pay. He's not believed to say it was really mine and I was recovering something that he took from me. Zakhtar Rosh, that's true. That's a din in Bezdin. If Adim sees someone taking it from one person's house, we have to assume that it's stolen. However, if there are no Adim, if, in this case, the brother saw his sister take something from her husband's rishos and give it to him, the sister is saying, it's mine. She's saying, it really belongs to me. Now, she has no proof. And if Bezdin had, if there were Adim here saying what happened, Bezdin would assume that she's lying. Does that prove that she is lying? No, it might be true. So although in Beis Din, when someone takes something from another person's house, we assume it's stolen, an individual that sees someone else take something, and that person claims, I'm really entitled to it, if he then gives it to you to watch, Zakt the Rush, there you don't have a din of a Shem Raveda. Because number one, the Goslin, if you will, claims it's really his, and it doesn't belong to the owner. And number two, if you go ahead and you want to be frum, you return it to the owner, the Goslin, or the person who gave it to you, will have the right to say, you ditched like you did. It was mine, I gave it to you to watch. You didn't give it back to me, you gave it to the person you thought it was yours, and he has the right to be typhus from you. And therefore the Rosh says, in that case, you have no chiv to return it to the owner. It's only when you know for sure that the item is stolen, then even though you accepted the pikadon from one person, from the Goslin, you have an obligation to give it to the owner. But when there's any suffix involved, even though in Beis Din she might not be believed, you don't have to be the Beis Din, you don't have to be involved, and since you don't know for sure it's an Aveda, you have the right to return it to the person who actually entrusted you with it. You don't have to give it to the person who is probably the owner.
That means you can never identify it. So why isn't it
Avudim Mer Kol Adam? Okay, Avudim Mer Kol Adam is an extreme case. Avudim Mer Kol Adam is when it's Zutah Shel Yom, something which you can't find Adam. There may be Yish because it has no Simen, but it's not Zutah Shel Yom. Those who give Yish Lamidas is Mechalik between Zutah Shel Yom, which is Hefker, and something which has no Simen, which is not Avudim Mer Kol Adam, it's just over from the Bailam, and therefore it's totally in Yish. So the lack of a Simen, lack of identification, does not make it Zutah Shel Yom. Just makes it that who will likely be Miyayish when he finds out. So again, the Rush's point is, if you know it's stolen and the Goslin gives it to you to watch, you have a chiv to return it to the owner. If you give it to the mafkid, you're going to be chayiv because of your Hashem Raveda. On the other hand, if there's a suffix, even though in Beis Din, her taina is the mafkid's taina is a weak taina that wouldn't necessarily be believed, but you're not in Beis Din. There is a taina, there is an element of doubt, and therefore you don't have to get involved and put yourself in jeopardy by returning it to the probable owner if now the mafkid, the person who gave it to you, will have the right to be taifas and will have the right to take it away from you. So this is a case where one person took it, brought it out, did the gzela, took it out of the rishos, and then gave it to you to watch. The Rush has another case, where, again, a lady stealing from her husband. Apparently this is fairly common. She took the item, but it was too heavy. She couldn't bring it out of the rishos, out of the property on her own. So after she did a hagbah, after she became a ganiv, she then called her brother and said, help me schlep this stuff out of the house. In this case, the Rosh says halacha is completely different. In this case, since, although she did a ma'isa gzela, she was already a goslin, since she could not bring it out of the Rishos Habal without help, there he says it's a Zebazeh Goyrim. There already, the person who helps take it out is considered a Goslin himself, and in that case, he's Chayiv Maker Hadin. Even if she claims that it's really hers, you're still Chayiv. Because there's a Chazakah that if something is in a person's Rishos, it belongs to them. So if someone comes over to you and says, break into this house, take the jewelry, it really belongs to me, you have no right to do that. You have no yidia. The chazaka is, if it's in one person's house, it belongs to him. So the fact that the person's sister claimed that it was stolen doesn't change anything. The person who goes ahead and helps take it out of the house is a goslin, and therefore he's chayiv me'ikar hadin. It's only in the first case where she already did the gzela, she got it out of the chatzar, you just helped her out, but she didn't need you to get it away. There, it's just a question of hashavas aveda. If she cannot steal it without your help because it's too heavy, and you are the one that actually helps her out, there's a chiyuv mikra hadin al gozlin. Once it has to be out of the rishos, the bach makes this chiluk. Once it's out of his rishos, and now it's just a question of you'll be able to recover it. There we talk about grama, and there already it's a question of hashavas aveda misayaya. If it's stuck in the husband's rishos, they are taking it out as the actual gzela, and there, if there's a chazaka belongs to his, you're chayev alt gazan.
So
when
you start taking it out, that chazaka doesn't apply?
The chazaka may apply, and if you had to pass it, then you would pass it and it belongs to the owner. But if in a case where it's already out, and you're given it to watch, so there, the question is, do you, as Hashavas Aveda, do you have to put yourself in jeopardy? Since you don't have it, you don't know for sure it was stolen, and if, since there are no witnesses, she has the right to claim that it's really hers, and she has the right to take this from you. The other Rosh says, Al Teshavas Aveda. Correct. That's the Rosh's Chiddush. Now, just very briefly, to go through the last two cases. So if you are ever, if you ever enter into a partnership with a fellow, you're going to rob a bank together. So a few practical pieces of advice. The first is, you should volunteer to drive the getaway car, but have him do the actual break-in. And the reason is simple. Because when he breaks in, he is the ganav. He's going to take it out. So although you may be driving the getaway car, you're being miseyeya, but you're not the actual ganav. And when, if and when you get caught, the bank's claim will be against the person who broke in, not against the person who drove the car. Now, to take it even a step further, Chavis Yorah has a case where one person broke in, took the goods, threw it out the window into the fellow who was waiting below, who promptly ran off with the goods. Now, not only did he run off with the goods, but he ran off with the getaway car. So the first ganav got caught. The first ganav got caught. The bank, he had to return the money. So he was a ganav. He had to return the money, but the stolen goods were already gone. So after he paid, he went after his partner, reimbursed me, indemnify me for what I had to the stolen goods that we had to return. Zakta Chavis Yar, nothing doing. These are stolen goods. The second person certainly has a chiv to return it to the owner. But the owner is not going after you, because the owner has recovered the money from the ganav. So he says there's no halacha that if one person steals and then gives it to his shutif, they're not real shutfim. They have no chiyuvim to each other. And therefore, in that case, while the owner certainly can go after the driver since he's holding on to his money, but the ganav who is stuck paying has no claim against his partner. Partners that steal together do not become achroy to each other. The Chavis Yor does say if you're going to do this and you want to protect yourself, he says if you're neschayiv bishtar, that we're going to go rob a bank together and we're going to indemnify each other, there he says the hischayivos would work. However, at least in my career, I've never actually been called upon to write a shtar like that. In the absence of a shtar like this, whoever gets caught, whoever gets forced to pay, would not have a claim against his co-conspirator, and he would end up losing out. Okay, we're out of time. There are we'll have to deal with other issues about whether there are ravens elizeh, whether each owes half or each owes the full amount, but that, Amir Hashem, we'll get to next week.
So even though he paid for it, he doesn't get an opinion in it now?